Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Zozo!
Hello, mate!
How are you?
It kind of currently feels like it's like 1996, and I'm operating as a teenager without a phone because my bloody phone got stolen on Sunday in King's Cross. Can you believe it?
No, that's so awful. Oh.
I didn't even see it. I did not even see it coming. It was so weird. I was walking down the street. I'd just been to Barry's. I was on my way to King's Cross to pick up the kids yeah. and Dozza, obviously at the end of like the 4 day. Yes, you know, session on my own in London. Had a brilliant time. I was like, I've nailed this. I haven't got a hangover. I've done my exercise. And then there was this guy that came. I could see him or hear him behind me. And yeah. I was sort of dragging my bags. And then he moved around in front of me. And then he stopped really suddenly. And then I noticed this other guy behind me. And before I knew it, I think he must have just had his hand in my bag that was on my suitcase. Like, I can't quite figure it out. I've like yeah. repaid it about a billion times. Anyway, my phone wasn't there when I got to bloody King's Cross. It had gone. So goodbye telephone.
It makes me so cross that people think they can just take other people's stuff.
I
just don't get it. But
I just feel like people are so desperate at the moment.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, I'm hearing a lot of it actually yeah. going on at the moment. Like my friend Nana, she got her phone nicked. She got punched in the side of her head, of her head, and they like went off on bikes. She chased after them. She called the police. In fact, she can't have called the police. The police must have just been there, and she was like, "They've got my phone." Anyway, half an hour later, she got a bloody phone back.
Did she? She said, "That's good."
That never ever happened. I won't get my phone back, but I am getting a new phone, and it's arriving tomorrow.
Yay!
Yay!
Every cloud.
Although I did think. Oh, the first thing that went through my head was, have I backed up my phone? Like, you know, when you're not tech savvy yeah. like myself, I'm hoping that I've done it.
I think it does it automatically, doesn't it?
I was hoping you were going to say that. Mate, how are you?
It does. I'm okay. I'm fine. I'm actually slightly worse for wear today. I spoke to you, didn't I, after you'd had your phone stolen. I don't think I could really even string a sentence.
You're like, I've had a couple of bottles of wine there. I was like, yes.
Oh, don't. We were celebrating Axel's birthday again yesterday.
Yeah.
And my family, we just sort of get a bit carried away. Like all the time. It's not even like we don't see each other a lot. We see each other a lot.
And, really nice.
Because my cousins have got girlfriends and there's more of us now. And it's just, there's more of us who like drinking rosé now.
Yeah.
And so we all just get a bit carried away. I don't actually even remember how getting home or anything.
Just to break it down to anyone that's listening, George's family love spending time together. It's actually really, really nice. And you get together as much as you can, but every single time they get together, it's almost like a bit of a wedding.
Yeah.
It's like, in the garden, get the gazebo up, let's get the champagne out.
It really is like that. We all just get too excited, too carried away. But and then I had to drive down to Whitstable, luckily without the kids. My mum and dad brought Axel and Gigi down on the train. So luckily I was on my own, otherwise that would be horrendous. So we're just in Whitstable for a few days.
That's going to be lovely. Yeah. Are you by the beach?
Yeah, well, we're like two roads back or whatever. So we're really close to like all the restaurants and things like that. So we're just going to have a nice chilled, well, chilled as you can with kids, couple of days. Not really, no plans, just looking about.
Do you know what's so nice about the staycation as well? Because obviously there's like a large proportion of us that are deciding that we don't want to go away on holiday, slash there isn't anywhere that we can go now because of all the quarantine that's been put in place. So getting like a bit of good old fashioned British or Scottish fun, you know, just on the beach. Like the kids had an incredible time in Longniddry, which is up near Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Even though the weather was kind of, you know, a bit iffy, they were just on the beach, sandcastles, you know, bucket and spade, ice cream, fish and chips. Just having the best time of their lives, crabbing. Like Luna was like, I caught a big crab. Oh. And I was like, oh, did you put it back? And she was like, yes, I did, I promise. You know, that's all they need.
Yeah, and do you know what's really nice as well? Like actually not having to worry about packing all the stuff into suitcases. Yeah. Like today I literally just loaded up the car. I could take scooters, bikes, you know, just all of that kind of stuff. Yeah. Not having to worry about, you know, going through the airport. Yeah. It is, you know, you'll know this as well, Zoe. Like we get such a short window to go away usually that is always to the, you know, it's always to a beach somewhere far away or whatever because we feel like we have to make the most out of it. But actually, like just coming down here is lovely.
It's lovely.
Only took me like, you know, just over an hour to get here. It's great. It's really nice. And I hope, you know, we all sort of get to know where we live a bit better.
Yeah. And we're looking forward to your review of Whitstable, Georgia.
Yes.
In the next few days.
I'll know all of the best places to drink rosé because my mum's here. In fact, I went downstairs earlier and the fridge has got no food in it, but it has got lots of different types of rosé that she bought from Majestic.
So, my God. That's why we love your mum. Well, look, we are obviously having a chat about travel, but the person that we're talking to today will be saying, no. Everybody still needs to get on a plane because I'm going to fly you to your destination.
Yes.
So today we're going to be chatting to our first ever female pilot on the podcast. She is currently kind of grounded because she's got her first baby on board due in November. She has got a massive following on Instagram, 557,000 followers.
Wow.
Georgia, who are we chatting to today?
We are chatting to pilot Maria.
So I think Georgia and I can hand on heart safely say that this is the first time ever that we have spoken to a female pilot before on the podcast.
Yeah.
an actual like kick-ass female pilot who is kind of, both of us have heard lots about before, but haven't actually met in person. So let's get into the chat today. We're chatting to pilot Maria. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. I should say, obviously in my intro as well, that you are actually 7.5 months pregnant. Is that right?
That's correct.
Congratulations.
28 weeks something. So yeah.
Oh, and how has it been? It's particularly, how has it been during lockdown?
It's been all right. I would wish for it to not be lockdown, obviously, so I could share it with my family. None of them are living in the UK, but apart from that, it's been all right.
Now, let's just go back to the moment that you kind of told your employers, because can you just give us a little bit of a background as to like who you fly for and I guess how you got into aviation?
Okay, so I've been in aviation now for about 10 years, I think it is. Yeah, I started my training in 2010 and I started flying for Ryanair in 2014. So I've been with them for about 6.5 years. And I found out that I was pregnant in March and I was thinking first that I could fly for maybe a little bit in the beginning of the pregnancy. It was all going very smoothly. I didn't have any morning sickness or anything. But then Corona happened and I did just not want to take the risk. So I thought, okay, even if I was only, I think, 7 weeks pregnant or something when I told them, I thought, okay, I don't want to risk flying in Corona with the pregnancy and everything. So, yeah.
What's the normal practice like when there isn't a pandemic going on and you tell, you know, your employer that you're pregnant as a pilot? Is that it? Do you have to stop flying there and then?
Yes, that it's depending on what company that you fly for. Some companies let you feel it yourself if you're capable of flying or not. Obviously, if you're throwing up every 5 minutes, it wouldn't be advisable to sit in front of the controls. But as long as you're feeling fine, some companies do let you fly. With a company that I fly for, we stop flying as soon as we tell them that we are pregnant. They just don't want to take any risks. And then depending what the situation looked like, they could give you some office work in the meantime. But during this pandemic, the whole office work and everything has just been cut down. So for me, it's basically been at home since that time.
Maria, like we want to talk to you about what it's like, obviously, being pregnant and, you know, flying and all that kind of stuff. But actually, I want to sort of go back a bit, because before being pregnant, you have been a pilot, like you said, for about 10 years. You've got a massive Instagram following. So can we kind of talk about how that profile came about and what it's like being a female pilot in, I guess, what is quite a male predominant industry?
Yeah. So we are about 4-6% female pilots in the world.
Wow.
And I think me growing up and being Swedish, it's not such a thing that are a guy's jobs and a woman's jobs. So
right.
For me, I never really thought about it to be anything different. I was lucky to have other girls in my class during aviation training as well. So I started flying, and my first base, we get designated a base that we fly from, was Palermo in Sicily. So I lived there for about 2.5 years. And
oh, lovely.
Yeah. It's an absolute beautiful place. But it was quite hard to communicate with everyone back home, because it did take a few flights to get to and from Palermo and Gothenburg that I'm from. So I just started sharing my journey on Instagram. I thought, okay, I'm going to put some pictures up here, and then everyone who's interested, you can just go and look there, and I will do it like a diary. And then I started learning how to use hashtags, and I found out that there's tons of other aviation accounts, and it's kind of just grew from there.
Wow. And so you used it as sort of a platform to try and keep in touch with like your family and friends.
Yes.
And then it just grew from there. And now, is it, you know, is your aim to inspire other women to go into the industry?
I would love to do that. Even if I only inspire one, that means that we will get that percentage of 4-5% of female pilots up just a tiny bit. And that for me would be a victory.
Why do you think there aren't that many female pilots globally?
I think from the beginning, I think it's been because of the stereotype. And me, for example, if you picture a pilot, if you ask a child to draw a pilot, they will probably put a male figure with a thick moustache and someone who's definitely not a young girl or a woman. And I think it just get imprinted when you're young that being a pilot is nothing for me. And if we can just change that, so Instagram got both young and older audience. So I think if young girls can see that we are a lot of female pilots actually on Instagram, they could know that it's an option for them also.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, people, you know, women don't necessarily go into the business because they don't think that it's suitable for when you have a family, or like, as you say, when you get pregnant, you have to stop. And then I guess having to travel a lot when you've got a family isn't the easiest thing to do.
Yeah. And so there are a lot of different things you can do for that. Obviously, in the beginning, it's quite tough to get that first job. So you might have to move somewhere else.
Yeah.
But as for now, my schedule when I work full time, I fly for 5 days, and we never go out of to sleep in a hotel, for example. We always come back to our home base. So
right.
It's very rare that they would send us somewhere else. And if they would, they would normally give us well notice in advance. So normally it's like a 9-to-5 job for me, just that some days I start really early and some days I finish a bit later. But we actually get to come home every day. And so we work 5 days and then we have 4 days off. So having a family on that kind of schedule, it actually works really well.
It's lovely.
Yeah, it's more than five, because most jobs would have you work Monday to Friday and you only get the weekend off.
Yeah.
But we get 4 days off, so it's almost like a double weekend.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to get into flying? Do you have any, was it sort of relatives? Did your parents fly? What was it?
None in my family is flying commercially. My dad had a private pilot license, meaning he can fly these small airplanes with a little propeller in the front.
Yeah.
When he was younger, unfortunately, he let that license go because you need to keep them valid before my sister and I were born. So I never flew with him, he as a pilot. But I think somehow he gave me the interest, because he would talk about airplanes and just point at them in the skies. And I remember once we were in Greece, he took me to the runway. It was in Skiathos, which is quite a special place to land. It's quite difficult. And he would just talk about things like that. And I didn't take notice of it at the time, but later on when I was 24 and I wanted to decide what I wanted to do with my life, I knew that I loved traveling and I wanted to do something where I could keep traveling. And I thought, pilots, they are actually the ones that take me to my destination all the time. So maybe that could be something. And it just felt so right. It was like, you know, you have a heavy stone over your chest, like a brick, and you could just take that off, put it aside, and then just decide, okay, how am I actually going to make this reality?
Yeah, I mean, wow.
It sounds so cheesy, but that's
it sounds absolutely terrifying. Like, I'm going to be honest with you, but both George and I sit behind the wheel of a car sometimes and go, how does this work? If you're sitting in a cockpit and you've got a full plane of passengers, does it ever go through your head where you go, I actually can't fucking remember what I'm supposed to be doing here? Or is it like clockwork now?
Yeah, it's like clockwork. It's like learning how to ride.
You couldn't say the other one, could you? You'd have to say it's clockwork. But yeah.
No one will be wanting to get on the Ryanair fly.
but are there ever moments of like kind of freezing, or like you have to really, really think about it? Or is it you could do this in your sleep now?
Yeah, I think when you get to that time where you've been flying so much, I have probably about 4,000 hours on the 737, which is not a lot compared to people that's been flying for much longer than I have. But of course, you're always going to get new scenarios that you've never been in before, but I would always feel ready on how to handle them. And we have, for everything that's abnormal that could happen in the air, we have checklists. So it's very, if there's something that would go wrong, knock on wood, we would take a checklist up and they have written out how you're supposed to deal with it.
And like, give us an example.
Let's say that you lose an engine. So first you have
to that sounds very scary. Oh god. Yeah.
It might sound better than if I tell you that the airplane flies perfectly on just one engine.
Yeah, right, that sounds good.
Yeah, that is good, right.
So we would have checklist on how we would attempt to restart the other engines, and we wouldn't do that by memory. We would do that following a checklist that, because obviously when you've been put in such a situation, you would have more stress on yourself, and it wouldn't be good to do everything how you think it's supposed to do, but everything's actually written down for us on how to do it.
God, if only parenthood came with that kind of manual, wouldn't that be great? I mean, that would be great, wouldn't it? Well, let me get my checklist out. Let me get it out and let's just go through it.
I think you have a very good business idea though, like choking, and you can just get the checklist out. Okay, I'm not supposed to do this. I'm supposed to do this. This is perfect.
So tell us what your journey was to getting pregnant. I know it was, you know, quite a whirlwind, I guess, experience.
Yes. So for me, I think I've never been the one that's, you know how some girls just know from very young age that they want to become a mother?
Yeah.
That was never me. So I left it quite long and I wasn't really searching for the time to have a family. I never looked for a right time. So when I met Thomas, it came quite perfect because, I mean, as women as we are, time is going and it has to be done within a certain time for us. I was quite lucky that he was so ready as he was. So he quite early let me know that he wants to have a family. So we dated for about 7-8 months and then we got pregnant after that. So it was quite soon. But,
I guess first of all, two questions. Had you already had that conversation with him where you were saying, listen, I am the age that I'm at, so I don't want to mess around here? Or did you, you know, become pregnant and then be like, well, this is a good thing anyway, because we're both on the same vibe? Had the conversation already happened?
The conversation had already happened. I mean, there's only 1 year between the two of us. So we're both, Thomas 35 and I'm 36. So he's no stranger to biology. He knows how it works, so he know that we wouldn't be able to do the whole be together for 2 years, then get married, then get a house, because by then that time I would be well past 40 and we wouldn't know if that would be too late. And since it's something that he really, really wanted a kid yesterday, if he could choose. It kind of came naturally. And then it was a time in, I think it was in December, when I thought I was pregnant and I mentioned it to him. And I said, like, listen, it might be, but I'm not 100% sure. We'll just have to wait and see. And I think after that, because that wasn't a pregnancy, that he and I realized that we were actually disappointed that it wasn't. And that's how we find out, like, yeah, maybe this is actually something that we don't want to wait with for too long.
We'll be right back after the short break.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Laura Wright, and I'm here to tell you about my podcast, Music in My Life. In this series, I'm talking to some amazing guests about their favourite pieces of music. We'll be delving into the music they listen to and why it shaped them throughout the years.
It's like intense. It made me feel cooler and stronger and harder than I was.
But the man on board had cancer, and that's obviously become a big part of my life.
I can listen to it now, reminding myself where I've come from.
He just completely lost it as we pulled up to the hospital.
You can find it wherever you found this podcast. Just search Music in My Life.
So welcome back. Back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Where were we?
It's a really interesting one, isn't it? Because I actually received a little bit of... finger wagging. Try and figure that one out. Finger wagging, or at least a little bit of judgment around how quickly I got pregnant with Dozer. And, you know, for us, we met in the February and we were already talking about having kids in the June. And then we were pregnant by the December, January. So it was within kind of 11 months of being together. And people were like, oh, you know, how can you feel that way about somebody? And how can you know? And, you know, you haven't spent any time with that person. But I really believe that when two people are right for each other, they come together at the right part of their life to create a child. It happens. And I really don't feel that you have to be together for a certain amount of time to create a life. I just don't agree with it. I think it's very, very, very old-fashioned view of like, oh, we're going to date for 4 or 5 years and then we're going to get a house, we might get a dog. It's like sometimes two people meet and they just fucking get it on. That's it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And also, Maria, like you were saying, in terms of like, you know, there is a time element for women, isn't there? There is. And we discuss this a lot because we get told for, you know, throughout our whole teen years how not to get pregnant. But nobody actually points out to you that it's very difficult to get pregnant when you want to. And also that there is a time on it. I mean, I met my husband when I was really young and we didn't have Axel until 9 years into our relationship.
Yeah, you had almost the reverse, didn't you?
Yeah. Georgia? But can you imagine if we met at 35 and then had 9 years?
No, you wouldn't have done.
We wouldn't have been able to. And I think, as you know, as you sort of get older, I think you know more what you want. You're in a different part of your different stage of your life, aren't you? And I think, yeah, you're right. You just know. You just know. So what did you face, you know, sort of like Zoe was saying, she had some, what do you say, finger wagging? Is that what you said, Zoe?
Yeah, finger wagging. I didn't think I said it quite right.
Was there any of that from your family and friends?
Not that I know about, but everyone that we told, we had to kind of tell through FaceTime because we haven't been able to meet anyone. My mom, she was absolutely over the moon. She was so happy. She started crying because she had kind of given up on me. My sister, she's 3 years older than I am, and she's got three kids. And so my mom, she did have the grandchildren, but obviously she wanted me to have kids as well. And I've always told her that I wasn't sure if I was ever going to have children or not. So she was very happy. And
why were people saying that to you, Maria? Was that because of your job and lifestyle, do you think?
Yeah, and just, I think just because I hadn't really showed any interest in it.
Yeah.
I was never super cuddly with other children. And so I think, yeah, sometimes it doesn't come as natural as it does for others.
Oh, yeah, but Georgia and I were not cuddly with other children. Like, we always said that, didn't we?
No,
that,
you
know, you love your own child unconditionally, but you're, like, sort of sitting on the fence with other people's children.
Yeah.
Obviously. Not now.
No, but I mean,
pre-children, you're like, well, you don't know what you're doing. And also, you're single, living a life. Why do you want to hang out with other people's children?
Absolutely. Mm. I used to tell my mum all the time, oh, I'm not sure if I'm going to have kids. But that was really just so that she'd get off my back, you know, like, and stop asking me questions about it all the time.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You were in a relationship as well, and then maybe she was expecting it.
Exactly. Everyone, as soon as you get married, that's it, isn't it? It's the questions. It's like, so when are you going to have kids? When are you going to have kids? And we hadn't even really had that conversation. Yeah. So obviously you found out you were pregnant in March, just at, you know, at the beginning of lockdown. How has that been for you? You know, you mentioned before that your family obviously don't live in the UK.
Yeah, so it's been, I think it's for everyone else during lockdown, it's been extremely lonely. And because I don't have a big social network here in the UK, I would get part of my social life through work. Like, I would sit with someone and we would chat for, let's say we have an 8-hour day ahead and we would sit and talk for 8 hours at work. But now, not being able to fly and not being able to go out and meet any other mama classes or any classes like that, it's just been extremely lonely. And you kind of want to share the experience because it gets more real to yourself when you get to experience it with other people and you get to share it. Now it's a little bit like, oh, I'm going to go home. If I'm be able to fly home to Sweden before I give birth, it's like, I'm going to come home with a big belly. And that's going to be a shock for everyone because they've not followed the journey before that.
Yeah.
And what about even kind of thinking ahead and thinking about the labour, you know, where you're going to be able to have the baby and, you know, what that's going to look like for Thomas being with you? Have you had much direction and much help from the healthcare professionals in the UK?
I think the NHS has been super nice on all the scans that I've been on. They've cancelled a lot of scans because of Corona. But I had a friend, she had a baby in May, and for her it was basically, she had the kid and the father was allowed to stay for 30 minutes after birth and then he wasn't allowed to visit anymore. So she was there for a couple of days and then kind of left on her own in the hospital. The nurses and everyone were taking well care of her, but obviously you want to share that with your partner.
Yeah.
And they limit that a lot. The earlier scans that we went to, Thomas was not allowed to come with me on. And it's just first now that they slowly start to allow the partner to come on scans, which is because, I mean, it's his pregnancy too. It's his experience as well. It's just as much his baby as it is mine.
Yeah.
So, of course, he wants to see that screen and, you know, hear the little heartbeat and all that. And it's just been very sad that he's not been able to experience it with me. He's just been able to see the photos, which, fair enough, they've been very generous in giving you loads of photos just because they know that the partner can't come along. But it's just not really the same.
Have you thought about having a home birth?
We were talking briefly about it. At the moment, I wouldn't be allowed to because they put me in a high-risk group because of some high blood pressure. But I don't think I would dare it. We did briefly talk about it in the beginning, but like now it's not an option for us.
Yeah.
But even if it would become an option for us, I'm like, I don't think so.
Well, I was hearing this home birth story yesterday, right? It literally blew my mind. Someone was telling me that she had her baby. She was in the bath and her husband was there. This was her third labour. All of her labours have been at home. And she was literally like calling the midwives going, I'm definitely feeling quite dilated. I feel like I need to come in. But I'm just going to get in the bath. I'm just going to stay here for a bit. And they were like, yeah, you know, just chill out, just relax. literally 20 minutes later, she was like in the bath and she was like, I have to push now. And the husband was like, okay. And then gave birth in the bath. And then she said that they sat there, just my friend telling me, with the baby, with the umbilical cord still attached, with baby on her chest and her husband there with a towel wrapped around them. And they were just on the bathroom floor for half an hour before the ambulance came.
Oh my god! Do you know?
That's amazing.
It is. Do you know? You know Lucy, don't you, Zoe? My friend. She had her baby at home. Not last night. The night before.
Oh, she had her baby. Yes.
Yeah, she had a home birth, and it's quite similar. She's had two. You know, she's had two babies before, and they were both very straightforward. But yeah, she just had the baby on the floor in her bedroom.
On the floor in her bedroom. Yeah. I haven't hoovered. I can't get on the floor at the minute. I wouldn't be able to.
No, me neither. Oh, God.
I'm just picturing Thomas in this experience. Okay, he is a veterinary surgeon, so he's quite good with the animals and he's used to seeing blood and everything. But yeah. I can just... No, I don't think I could do that.
Have you got any idea of how you want to give birth?
I think I want it... I want to, if possible, I'd like to give birth naturally. But if they end up being a cesarean, I won't be too disappointed about it. But I would like to experience giving birth.
Yeah.
But I'm not one of these braves that be like, okay, I'm going to have no painkillers whatsoever. Mm. For me, it would be as soon as I start feeling too much pain, I'd like to have an epidural and just get the pain away and have it as nice experience as possible.
That's what everyone wants, isn't it? A nice experience as possible, and however you do that is the right way to do it.
It's really interesting as well when you hear different people's birthing stories. That's what I love. Like, I can't wait to catch up with you after you've had the baby, Maria, because everybody feels pain in different ways. So for example, like Georgia didn't have time to have an epidural the second time around, did you? Because you were just like, and then the baby just came out. Whereas I was like, I'm dying here. Please put a needle in my spine. So I definitely didn't cope with the pain very well, even though I thought I would. So yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how you go with it. And you sound like you're quite fluid with what you want. So that's great.
I hope so. I used to be absolutely terrified of giving birth. If you would have asked me 4 years ago, I would be like, no, I'm going to be full anaesthetic, cesarean. I just want to wake up and have the baby next to me.
That's what I used to think. Put me to sleep if you can. I'll wake up when it's done.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting though that you can sit in a cockpit of a plane with like 300 passengers on board and you can fly somewhere, but actually, you know, when it comes to something that's supposed to be like a natural thing, that frightens you? Because if you shoved us in a plane, George and I would be like, which button do you press? Do you think going through the stress that you obviously clearly do with your job, because you must have to have like, you know, nerves of steel, do you think that's going to help you in motherhood?
I hope so. I hope that the discipline is going to stay and I'm not going to be pushing the limits too much, because I know that would only give me problems probably later on as the kid is growing. I hope so. We're quite timely as pilots. Because our office is not waiting for us, so we have to be on time all the time. And we're working with a time schedule. We want to get the passengers at destination in time. So I hope that this kind of sense, I'm kind quite structured, and I like to, if I have a schedule, I like to stick to it. And I hope
you're gonna love a sleep routine.
But you know, like, I'm probably gonna put the schedule, like, from the first day I'm gonna start writing, like, okay, I can see a pattern here. He seems or she seems to go to sleep like this time. I'm gonna see if we can have the same tomorrow. And then, I mean, it's just gonna go out the window, everything. But
how intense is it gonna be when Maria's trying to get the baby out the door and it's like puking, shitting? You have to change the baby again, get, you know, then the pram doesn't go up. That time goes out the window, Maria.
I think your timeliness will be gone forever. sorry to keep going on about your family and your friends not being there, but have you thought about what you're going to do when you've had the baby to sort of find, you know, a network of mum friends locally? Have you thought about how you're going to do that?
Yes, I've actually already starting to networking a little bit. I had it recommended from a friend. It's an app that you can use to connect with other mothers to be or mothers already. It's called Peanut.
Yeah, we know.
Yes, Peanut. We love Peanut.
Yes, it's so good. And I've talked to several moms to be on there, and it's just been super helpful because everyone has questions and everyone has concerns, everyone has fears, and it's just nice to connect with them. And we would have done more meetups if it wouldn't have been the time that it is this year with Corona. But hopefully if they come up with a vaccine or if the situation looks better in the winter, I'm hoping to be able to connect with some of them. And because they haven't had any classes now where you would naturally meet other mothers to be. So this, hopefully that could be a way to get a little network of moms. And
also, Maria, you live in Essex, don't you? Georgia lives in Essex. You guys
I
can
do.
Hook up.
I live in Essex.
Yes, I would love that.
Yeah, let's do it.
She's also got a garage full of stuff, Maria, that you can have, like knock-off stuff that she's been hoarding. Haven't you, G?
I've got all the gear.
Maria, before we say goodbye, we like to ask all of our guests their five favourite parenting products. Obviously, new mum to be. So is there anything that you've mentioned Peanut, but is there anything else that you've kind of got yourself ready to use or any brands that you're kind of looking forward to using, I guess?
So I knew that this question was going to come because I've heard your podcast before. So I'm actually taking some notes. And I've got another app that I'd like to recommend. I know it's been recommended before, but it's really helpful, especially if you're planning on getting pregnant. And it's the Clue app. Because it will track your cycle, so you know, even if you not want to get pregnant, you can know when you should avoid then having sex, and you could know when your period is going to come on and so on. But it's a really good app where it tracks your period, and then it tracks your fertile window and your PMS as well, which is good for your partner to know when you're having a PMS, because sometimes I can give Thomas a heads that it's going to be like a PMS time. So the Clue app been really good. I was using it for years before I got pregnant, but it also helped because, you know, apparently the egg only survives for 6 hours.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's a very tiny, precise timing that you have to have. And this Clue app would tell you like when you should try with your partner then. So you can do that plus minus 3 days.
Great.
And then another one, for Netflix show, it's called Explained, and they have a sex series where they talk about
a sex series.
Yes,
it's right. Now you're talking.
This down.
Yeah, love that. Excellent.
It's not sex itself, but it's called Explained Sex, and it has just more with like how it works getting pregnant. Not how it works getting pregnant, but
I mean, it's pretty straightforward, isn't it? So you're from the back. On your back, on a sex swing if it's a Saturday night.
No, carry on. How different, like how the body works.
Okay,
explains all that, and I found it to be very informative. It was a really good series, actually.
Okay,
just to understand a little bit, like when you can actually get pregnant and when there's no point.
What's it called, Maria?
Explained.
Yes.
And they have several different series, but this one is called Sex Explained.
Okay,
so it has all to do with fertilization and all that kind of things.
Cool.
And what else? In the beginning of my pregnancy, when most people experience morning sickness, I was drinking a smoothie every morning. And once I share this in my story, some people say that it shouldn't be recommended in some countries, but I had ginger in it, and I'm very used to drink ginger. So I don't, someone's not used to it, maybe don't put a lot of ginger in it, because apparently it's not recommended in all countries.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah. In the UK, they don't say anything about it.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
You actually use ginger to fight against morning sickness in the UK. So.
Oh, you do? Oh, they do?
Yeah.
I did a green smoothie every morning with some spinach, ginger, apple juice, just put all the goodies in there. And I could feel a difference the mornings that I did not drink this. It might be placebo, or it could actually be the smoothie that worked. Either way, it worked for me.
Yeah, amazing.
So that I could really recommend. And then, the further along you get in the pregnancy, just have a good pregnancy pillow.
Yes.
They tell you that you have to sleep on your left-hand side and trying to do that. It's good to have one of these pillows.
Amazing.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on, Maria.
Thanks, Maria.
I just got this vision of you when you're like strutting towards your plane, and it's like sort of like Top Gun, Tom Cruise, Val Kilmer. That's it, isn't it? Tell me that's it.
But with the baby on the hip.
Yes.
That's exactly it.
Yes, I knew it was. Okay, amazing to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
We haven't done this for a while. We've had all of our products like building up inside us, but obviously Maria's done her own products. So we were like, well, let's talk about travel. Let's talk about the essential items that we never go anywhere without when we've got the kids.
Yeah.
So I'm going to kick us off with, basically it is a little scooter case for the kids. Yeah. So you can get them, like they sell them all over the place, but the one that I really love is on Kiddily, and it's a Zinc Flight MIDI scooter case. It's basically an actual suitcase for the kids, but it's got like an extendable handlebars, and then they can scoot around the airport on it. So it's like fun, and you can keep all their stuff in it. Keeps them entertained. The only issue is trying to stop Kit on one, but we've got three of them and the kids absolutely love them.
I've seen so many kids with these, and I'd quite like one myself.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah. Another one. So it's so difficult, isn't it, when you've got all your products to pack, all your makeup, all that kind of stuff, and then you've got to take separate products for the kids. But Child's Farm, which is a brand that we both really like, do a little essentials kit. So it's got everything you need, but just in a smaller amount. So even if you're not going on the plane, they're just really, really handy to throw in your bag.
Yeah, because how irritating is it when you're trying to pack all your toiletries? I find it irritating. You're having to take like full,
full-size things for a couple
ridiculous.
Of days.
Yeah, it is. Two brands that we really, really love are Froogi. So I get all of the kids like all-in-one swimsuits and stuff. You know, if for example, we just went to Scotland and it was pretty cold up there, but they were all in like full length, you know, to the knee, stripy kind of like, I don't know what you'd call them really.
Yeah, like all-in-one swimsuits, but they do just keep them warm, but then also they have that SPF protection in them as well. So
that's exactly what I'm trying to say, Georgia.
If it is hot, then you're covered as well.
Yeah.
And another brand is called Regatta Outdoors. So if you are staycationing, they have so many good things on there. Like, you know, like those waterproof all-in-one suits. Sometimes they can be really expensive, but on there at the moment, they're in the sale for like 15, 16 quid. Really good. They also do all your camping stuff, like if you're going to try camping, or it's just a really, really good website for all those sort of outdoor-y essentials.
And finally, like I know we kind of talk about Keeping Quiet, but they are literally the best brand. If you're traveling somewhere and it's going to take you a long time to get there, all you need to do is input some of your kids' favorite items on a website, then they send you this incredible bag in the post, then you bring it out on the plane or in the car or wherever it is, and then they kind of, it's like an amazing surprise present for them that keeps them entertained for hours.
It is brilliant. And even just as a website, keepemquiet.com is great. I found something on there called Plane Pal. So if you are going on like a long haul journey or even just a longer flight, it's a thing that blows up and it turns like a normal airline seat into a bed for your kids, so they actually might be able to get to sleep. We really love that website.
Yes. Amazing. Right, we're going to be back on Friday with another podcast. We are going to put it up on Made by Mamas on our Instagram to kind of let us know what you want us to talk about.
Yeah, please do. And as always, please do send us your messages at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman.
And as always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And if you can leave us a little review on there, that would be absolutely wonderful. And we will see you on Friday.
See you then.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.